begin the Mishnah now on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. The Mishnah addresses the issue of two avedos. You can either return your own aveda, you see your animal in the distance roaming around, it's about to get lost, or your Rebbe's aveda, or your father's aveda. Who comes first? And let's read the Mishnah. Avedas ove avedas oviv. As we said before, you cannot possibly return both. You have to be metapel with one of them. Either you go for your own or for your father's. And you would think that the kibbutz av here would play a major role. The Mishnah says, avedaso kodemes. His own aveda comes before the aveda of his father. Avedaso avedas rabo. The same principle, shalo kodem. His aveda takes precedence over the aveda of his Rebbe. We'll soon see that the Gemara is going to derive this from a pasuk. The Mishnah continues and sets up a kedima. What takes priority if there are two avedos, one of your father, one of your Rebbe? And the same issue is going to come up with regard to the mitzvah of prika and the mitzvah of pidgin haben. Avedas aviv vavedas rabo shel rabo kodemes. His Rebbe comes before his father. We're assuming, of course, that his father is not his Rebbe. And why is it, says the Mishnah, that his Rebbe comes first? She'aviv hevio l'chai olam hazeh, v'rabo shelimdo chachma mevio l'chai olam haba. We have a biological fatherhood and a spiritual fatherhood. The spirit lives on eternally. And that's the primary element of the human being. Man is a biological being, and insofar as his father is responsible for his biological being coming into existence, that's kibbutz av. But the Rebbe brings him into chaye olam haba. The Beis Yosef is going to emphasize that this discussion here about Aviv and Rabo refers to Rabo Mufak. But in the case of Rabo She'eno Mufak, then Aviv Kodem Le Rabo. So a person has various Rebbeim, taught him Torah, but one is his outstanding, his main Rebbe, his primary Rebbe. He taught him perhaps a Derech HaLimud. He gave him the basis for understanding the Torah. And he, the Rebbe Muvak, trumps the Aviv Mevi'a Lolam Abba. That's the superior special status of Rabbo Muvak. Then the Mishnah says the following. There's one qualification. Im Aviv Chacham, then shall Aviv Kodemes. And here we have an issue in Rishonim. What does it mean that his father is a Rebbe, is a Chacham? The Rif and the Rambam have a girsa, Aviv Shakul Keneged Rabo, that his father has the level of Chachma equal to that of his Rebbe, although again he studied most of his Torah from his Rebbe, but his father in Chachma has the same level, the same status of a Chachma as his Rebbe. Since we have a stalemate of two Chachamim, Aviv Kodem, his father is a Chacham, on the same order, the same stature of his Rebbe Muvak, his father comes first. However, if his father was a Chacham, but he's not on the same level of Chachma as his Rebbe, so his Rebbe trumps his father because his Rebbe has two pluses. Number one, he taught this young man his primary Torah. Number two, he's a greater Chacham than his father. Only when they're Shakul, according to the Rif, only when they're equal in Chachma, then Aviv is greater and comes first. He gets priority over Rabbo Muvak. The other Rishonim don't have that girsa, and the straightforward girsa or meaning of the girsa as we have it is Aviv Chacham. If his father has the status of a Chacham, again we have to define what that means, then Avedas Aviv Kodemes Lavedas Rabba. The Mishnah continues, Haya Aviv V'Rabba Nosim Masoi. We now have the mitzvah of Prika to unload a burden on behalf of his father, on behalf of his Rebbe. Is Meniach Es Shal Rabba, he does Prika to place down the burden on the shoulders, on the back of the animal of his Rebbe. Rebbe comes first, V'Akach, and then second, Meniach Es Shal Aviv, his father comes second. And we'll soon see that in this middle case, the Mishnah doesn't give any explanation, but we go on to the third case, and there the Mishnah, like the first case, will give the explanation. Oya Aviv Rabbo, the Beis HaShevi. We now have the Mitzvah Pinyon Shvuyim to redeem the captor from his prison, from his captivity. There's only enough funds right now to redeem one person, whether it's his father or his Rebbe. His Podes Rabbo, his Rebbe gets preference. The Achkach Poda Es Aviv. With the remaining money or other funds that he can collect, the son will redeem his father. V'im Aviv Chacham. However, if his father is a Chacham, and it doesn't say that his father is on the level of Chachma equal to that of his Rebbe, nevertheless, Podes Aviv, the Achikach, Pode Es Rabo. First, the father, he gets redeemed from captivity, and then, only then, his Rebbe. Now, the overall overriding or underlying reason that is common to all these cases in the Mishnah is that Aviv Mevio L'Chayolam HaZev V'Rabba Mevio L'Chayolam HaBo. However, the exception when the father is a Chacham, the Mishnah adds that stipulation and that limitation in 2 out of 3 cases. I call them cases 1 and 3. In those 2 cases, 1 and 3, the issue of Aveda and Pidyon Shvuyim, the Mishnah stipulates that if his father's a Chacham, then the father comes first. In the middle case, which is Prika, the Mishnah omitted this stipulation, this limitation rule, that im aviv chacham shall aviv kodemes, that in kedima, likewise, the father comes first if he's a chacham. That din is omitted, and here we have a radical chiddush of the Radbaz. The Radbaz lived about 5 centuries ago, and he was a contemporary of the Shita Gubetzes, and here the Shita quotes the Radbaz. Now hold on to your seats till we get to the punchline of this Radbaz, an amazing Chiddush. And the Radbaz wants to say the following, that this din of Prika is not to be compared to the first din in the Mishnah of Ashavas Aveda, where the law is that if Aviv is a Chacham, let's go like the Rif, he's Shokel Keneged Rabo, and clearly Aviv Kodemes, because in the case of Prika, there may be a more pressing and urgent need, halachic psak in favor of the father, and that is because Aveda is only monetary, it's only financial loss, whereas Prika has what's called Tsar HaGuf. And what that means is that his father is, so to speak, suffering with this load that he's trying to desperately get off the, you know, remove, alleviate from the animal and unload the animal. In such a case, there's more of a reason, because of Tsar HaGuf, to upgrade his father. And in the context of the Rif, whose girsa in the Reisha of Aveda is Haya Aviv Shakul Keneged Rabo, that we only upgrade the father to the status of Aviv Avedas Aviv Kodemes if the father is equal in Chachma to the Rebbe. That requirement, in order to tip the scale in favor of Aviv, that the father has to be on such a great level of Chachma that he's equal to the Rebbe, that requirement only applies when there's no Tsar HaGuf. When Tsar HaGuf enters into the equation, then the father has more of a push. And that would be equivalent to the Sefer, the third case of Pidyon Shvuyim. Pidyon Shvuyim enter the variable of Tsar HaGuf. A person is in tremendous anger when he's suffering, riding away in a jail, and all the pressure and all the tension and the fear of his life, etc., etc. And in the third case, the Rif has our girsim Aviv Chacham, not Shokul Keneged Rabba, but Chacham is Podes Aviv, the Akav Podes Rabba. All you need in order to jack up the father to get priority in the case of Pinyon Shvuyim is that he be a Chacham. He's not necessarily on the same level of Chachma as his Rebbe Muvok. That's because of the Tsar that's involved in Shvuyim and Pinyon Shvuyim. Prika, says the Radbaz, fits right in the middle. On the one hand, it's primarily a financial consideration. Save the animal. It's about to collapse. His father's going to have to replace the animal. But at the same time, his father is participating in physically lifting the masa off the animal's back, and therefore he is exerting a Tsar HaGuf. However, the Tsar HaGuf is not up to par, up to the level of the Tsar HaGuf of Pidyon Shvuyim. It's right in the middle. So what's the bottom line? And here's the punchline of the Radbaz. The Radbaz says that if his father's a Chacham, then in such a case, Yase HaBen Mashiyirtze. The decision, open-ended, is left to the hands of the son himself. He can decide whether he does Prika for his father, who's a Chacham, or Prika for his Rebbe, who's both the source of his Torah. He taught him most of his Torah, and at the same time, he's a greater Chacham than his father. It's a toss-up. And in such a case, the son makes the call. The halacha leaves it into his hands to be machriya and to be shokel and make the shikul hadas. Fascinating chiddush of the Radbaz, based on an omission of the Mishnah. The Prisha, on the other hand, in Shulchan Aruch, is of the opinion that Prikas Masa is the same as Aveda. It's primarily financial. That's in the Miri, says here too. And therefore, in order for the father to get preference and priority, he's got to be Shakul Keneged Rabba. But the fascinating approach here is that of the Radbaz. Again, let's emphasize that in Pidyon Shvuyim, the Radbaz is right. The Mishnah does not add which according to the Rif is the Girsa in Aveda and the Reisha, Hoya Shakul, Aviv Hoya Shakul Kineged Rabo. There's a Tsar Gadol, there's a Bizoyon, there's a tremendous difficult anguish, etc., in the Beis Hasurim, in the incarceration, and therefore his father comes first. And this, again, with the stipulation his father is a Chacham. And this has tremendous repercussions in terms of medical ethics, what would be in a case where his father and his Rebbe are both in Sakona, a life-threatening situation. Would you need father Shakul Keneged Rabba? The answer is, according to Advaz, no. As long as the father is a Chacham, that would be enough to tip the scale in favor of his father, we get Kedima. Only in Aveda, which is purely Efseid Mamon, then the fact that the father is a Chacham is not sufficient to tip the scale. You need Chacham HaShakul Kerabba. Because again, although in the case of Aviv, we have Mora Aviv, again that's true even in Mora Rabo, but there's a separate power or significance or weight to being over Aldas Aviv, to violate the will of his father, and that plays a primary role in the case of Sakonis Nefashos or in Pigeon Shvuyim, because of the Tzar Gadol, the goof of the Tzar of a goof, the Bizoyon HaNefesh, etc. The Gemara says, Minani Mili, what's the source for the fact that if the son has to choose his own Aveda, or that of his father, that of his Rebbe, he chooses his own, Omer Rav Yud, Omer Rav, Omer Kra, this is the Pasuk at the end of Sefer, in the middle of Sefer Tvarim, in the parasha of Shemitas Ksofim, Efes ki lo yeh becha elyon, the end of the Pasuk is, ki varech yivarechecha Hashem, ba'aretz asher Hashem, elokecha nosein lecha nachla lirishta. And the word Efes is a lashon of chadola, that a cessation, a termination of lo yeh becha elyon. And it also, according to this drasha of Rav, is an allusion to the mitzvos of Hashem, which means chadal milavar al mitzvosai. The Torah is warning us to observe the mitzvah of Shemitah and to desist from violating the mitzvah of Shemitah, so that we avoid coming to the state of anius. That's how Rashi interprets the pasuk. And al pidrash in Torah Shbal Peh, Rav goes a step further. Shelcha kodem l'shel kol adam. That if by involving yourself in a mitzvah, for example, the aveda of someone else, your aveda will sit there and will be lost, then you're going to be mafsid your aveda. The Torah says in that case, shalcha kodem l'shel kol adam, including aviv and rabo. The Torah is warning us in this pasuk to avoid a situation of evyon al pipshat, by violating the mitzvah, non-compliance with the mitzvah of Shemitas Ksofim, chadal. You want to avoid becoming an evyon, because that's going to be the punishment for violating the mitzvah of Shemitas Ksofim and demanding payment from a loan despite the Shemitah that was Meshamet the loan, and avoid being an ani in the case where your money is going down the tubes. Do whatever you have. What do you have to do to save your finances? The Omer Rabbi Yehuda Marav, but an additional comment here, almost like an editorial comment, that even though strictly al pi din, the Torah wants you to protect yourself from financial loss, and therefore shalcha kodim l'shalonom. But nevertheless, kol amakayim v'atzmo kach. If a person is medagdek and on a constant basis, all he cares about is to guarantee that his financial situation is stable and secure, and he won't give of his own funds for the benefit of gemilas chasodim abrios. He's always putting himself selfishly first. He gives himself his priority, shalcha kodem, and he takes that rule to its extreme on a constant, perpetual basis. Sof bali dekach. At the end, says Rav, he himself will become poor and destitute. He'll be needy, and he'll be dependent upon others. The drasha here of Rav from this pasuk in Shemitah's Ksafim is based on the superfluous, the added word Efes. The Torah could have said Lo yeh becha evyon, to tell us that if we observe the mitzvos, especially Shemitah, we'll receive the blessing of Hashem and there won't be an evyon. Why the extra word Efes? And that's the basis for the allusion to the fact that you have to make sure that you don't become an Evyon. Shalcha kodemes l'shalcha vero. The Ibn Ezra, on the other hand, understands that this pasuk is referring to avtocha. God is promising a bracha. And in the previous pasuk, tzivisicha, it says, es anochri tigos v'ashayilcha sachicha teshamit yodecha, that by being Mekayim Shemitah, you will be blessed with the Avtach of a Bracha. Nevertheless, don't be choshesh that because of that, since you're going to observe the law of Shemitah, you'll become an Ani. You won't be able to collect your loans, your outstanding loans that other Jews owned you, Ela Efes. What does that mean? Efes ki becha. Be Yisrael loya evyon. Don't worry about the fact that if you don't collect your loans, you'll suffer from poverty. No, loya evyon. There won't be a need for one Jew to borrow money from the other because of the fulfillment of Shemitah's Ksofim. But rather, as the pasuk says, Rak im shamoa tishma b'kol Hashem elokecha lishmor la'asosis kol ha'mitzvah zos asher anochi mitzavcha yom ki Hashem elokecha. God will fulfill His promise and bestow upon you your blessing, His blessing. V'avadeta goyim rabim v'yatalo ta'avet, etc., etc. Meaning that you won't be dependent upon the goyim, you won't be dependent upon other Jews, you won't have to worry about monies. God will see to it that if need be, the monies from Goyim will come to enrich you, to make you rich. All this is the divine promise for the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Hashem, specifically the mitzvah of giving up the collection of loans as a result of Shemitah. However, again, if you take this principle of Shalcha Kodem Shalcha Ver to its extreme, you'll always find an excuse. I'm not going to save someone else's mammon because it's going to cost me. A person will always be more ahead there. He'll find some sort of an excuse. I'm worried about my losses. He'll never get involved in Hashavas Aveda. There's always some element of Hefseid. He'll lose some sort of an Asek, some sort of involvement. Therefore, Rav Yudom Arav added this moral clause over here, that a person should never prevent himself from helping his friend, even if he knows that he's going to suffer some element of loss. So a proper balance has to be struck up, so to speak. The Sma, the Sefer Miras Einayim, one of the super commentaries on Choshei Mishpat, quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, Meguras Rosha Tuvoena, that when a person is afraid that because he's involved in a mitzvah he's going to come hefseid, then in truth he'll come to a hefseid. And he adds that the there's a phrase that people often use, dikduke anius. And what does that phrase mean? That because he's medagdik b'dvarim elu yovli day anius, that if he's overemphasizing his own financial needs, ultimately, because of that overwhelming focus and that exaggerated, unbalanced concern with his own monies, he's going to come to poverty, chas v'shalom, himself. The Marsha adds that if a person says, I'm not going to return an aveda, I'm going to involve myself only in my own aveda, my own loss, and not the aveda of my father, and that's what he constantly says, Efes ki lo yevcha evyon, then he is opening the mouth, so to speak, of the Satan to come to be Mekatreg, and that Kitrug will bring him to Anias, Chas v'shalom. The Mishnah continues, Haya Aviv v'Rabba Nosim Masoi, Meniach Eshel Rabbo, V'Acher Kach Meniach Eshel Aviv, in the midst of Prika, his Rebbe takes precedence and priority, Tan Rabbana, we learned in a Braisa, Rabbo Sha'omru, when the Mishnah speaks about Rabbo who takes precedence over his father, Rabbo Shalimdo Chachma. Chachma means Gemara, which means Tamei Alochos and Svaros, the logic, the methodology of Torah Shebal Peh. Velo Rabbo Shalimdo Mikra. We're not talking about his Rebbe for Tanakh or Mishnah. Mishnah is a study of dinim without understanding their underlying reasonings, but rather Rabbo Shalimdo Chachma, who gave him the insight, the methodology to understand the Torah itself. Divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he says that Kol Sherov Chachmasai Menu. It's not even enough that this particular Rebbe taught him Chachma, he gave him Svaros and methodology and Tami Alochos, but in addition, this is the Rav of the Mishnah of Rov Chachma Soimenu. In other words, most of the Chachma that the Talmud has, he derived from this particular Rebbe. It doesn't matter whether this Rebbe taught him Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara, it's all a question of Rov. It would seem to me that Rabbi Yehuda is emphasizing not quality but quantity. And quantity means how much? Kamus. Is it Rov Chachmasa from that Rebbe? And that's kind of rare that a Talmud would be able to declare, well, most of what I know I got from this particular Rebbe. Perhaps Rabbi Meir disagrees. And Chachma, which means Svara and Taimei Alochos, the emphasis here is not on quantity, but rather on quality. Rashi, which is about 10 lines down from the top, Svaros, Svaras Taimei Mishnah, Lahavin, the emphasis on Avonim, Shol Yisosor Zu Ezu, V'Taimei Yisav Heter, Chiyuv Ptur. Rashi is talking about a methodology. And there are many disciplines of Torah. There's the discipline of Isur V'Heter. There's the discipline of Chiyuv and Ptur, perhaps Dini Momenos. And to really understand the laws, you need a methodology. And he who taught the Talmud a methodology and equips the Talmud with the Kalim, the necessary abilities and methods to understand the underlying reason of the entire Torah, that's Rebbe Muvhak. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Afil lo heiris einavel v'mishna achas, zehu rabo. If so-and-so taught me one Mishnah, which I didn't know, one din that I couldn't understand, that person is my Rebbe. And his kavod is greater than that of my father. Again, assuming that my father didn't teach me anything. Amar Rava. Rava makes a comment, Kigon, and I think this comment is to embellish and shed a light on Rabbi Yossi. What does he mean, Mishnah Achas? What is give me a concrete case of a Rebbe who taught a person, he taught his Talmud, a single Mishnah? Kigon Rav Schora, the Asbaron Zuama Listeron. Rava reveals that a particular rabbi by the name of Rav Schora taught me, says Rava, a strange halacha about Zuama Listeron. Zuama Listeron is a gigantic spoon, a kaf gedola. And on one side of the spoon, you remove the zuamas tafshil, meaning if you have let's say you're cooking a soup, there's a zuama on top of the soup, a certain film, and you use this spoon, this kaf gedola, to remove this film from the top. The other side of the spoon is a little bit like a fork, like a mazleg, which you dip down into the pot if you want to remove a piece of meat from the pot. And this is called Zuama Listeron. Listeron means litzdadim. It has two sides to it. On one side it's a gigantic spoon, on the other side it's a gigantic fork. And the din, the status of this kli, is addressed by the Mishnah in the 13th parak of Kalim. And afsha kli tame shenishbar tara yidei shviraso. Generally speaking, if a kli, some utensil has received, has been contaminated by tuma and it gets broken, then the breaking of the kli is mitayer the kli, it becomes tar, it no longer has the same kli. But if you have a kli that has a double function to it, like a zuama listeron, that on the one hand it's a kaf, it's a spoon to remove the zuama, on the other hand it's a mazlig, it's a fork to pierce through the meat and lift up the meat, then if the spoon part is broken, or the mazlig part, the fork part is broken, it still remains tameh until both sides are broken. And Rav learnt this halacha, it was clarified by Rav Schora, and therefore Rava said that he, Rav Schora, is my Rebbe according to Rav Yossi. Now, in truth, if you open up various sugyas in Shas, in Brachas, in Shabbos, in Yevamos, and many other sugyas, you'll see that Rav Schora, in fact, taught Rava many different things. And these are all mentioned over and over again in the Talmud. Nevertheless, Rav Schora didn't teach Rava directly other halachas, except for this particular halacha of Zuama Listeron. The other halachas that we find in Shas were passed on, were transmitted through a medium. In other words, it wasn't that Rav Schora, directly taught Rava, but there were others who transmitted the Torah of Rav Schora to Rava. Or it's possible that Rava did not say, not single out this particular halacha, as if to say this was the only halacha that he derived from Rav Schora, but he meant to say that even had Rav Schora taught him just this one halacha, he's just using this as an example, he would qualify as my Rebbe, and he would take priority over my father in terms of the mitzvah prika. And Tosis in Ksubis offers another possibility, that at the moment that Rava made this statement that we see here in Bav Metzia, at that point he had only learned one particular halacha from Rav Schora. During the balance of his career, Rava learned many, many other halachas from Rav Schora. And some Rishonim want to say that the Girsi is not Rava, but rather Rava. And Rava only learned one single halacha from Rav Schora. Shmuel kara mone alei hahu rabbanon. Now, this halacha of Chacham Shemes, and is a chi of kriya in the case of Chacham Shemes. and Shmuel ripped his garment in a way, there's a special halacha of Kriya with regard to Chacham Shemes, the general halacha of Kriya on the seven Krovim, with the exception perhaps of the Imo, for example, Bno, Bito, Achiv, Achoso, the Ishto, is that a person rips only his outer garment, and that's called a Tefach, the Oracle Shalabegid, Milafan of Keneged Alev. But al Aviv Imo, there's a special Chiyuv of Kriya on all his begot, not just the outer garment, but even the garment below that until he exposes his chest, his heart. That's the difference between Aviv Imo and Shar Krovim. There's another difference between the Chiyuv Kriya of Aviv Imo and other Krovim, is that after Shiva, in the case of Shar Krovim, he can re-sew the Kera and restore the Begit to the state it was in before the Kriya, during Shiva. But in the case of Aviv Imo, if he wants to restore the Begit, that's called La'achos, the Sakera, he has to do it with a special kind of Tefira that would not really restore the Begit at all. So in the case of Shar Krovim, he could do a Tefira Yafa. After 30 days, again, there are different dinim of Shiva and Shloshim, but be that as may, after Shloshim, in the case of Shar Krovim, he could perfectly restore the Beged and remove the Kriya. Not so in the case of Aviv or Imo, and Rabbo Muvok has the same identical Chiv Kriya as Aviv the Imo, and that's called Eino Ma'ache Li'olam. And Shmuel, in the case of a particular Chacham, we'll see exactly about this Chacham, what he taught Shmuel, considered him as Rabbi Muvok, and he fulfilled the mitzvah of Kriya upon his death, the death of that Chacham as Rabbi Muvok, just the way he would be Mekayim the mitzvah of Kriya for Aviv the Imo in a Kera She'enu Mis'ache. And all this you'll see in Tosis on the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. Now, let's understand about this Chacham. It was Alei Hahu Mirabbanan. It was on this particular Chacham, the Asberei, who explained a Mishnah in Masechta Tamid in the third Perek. The Mishnah there speaks about the order, the daily order of Psichas HaHechol, that the Kohen, who is Zochen the Pious for the Dishon HaMizbech, to clean off the Mizbech from the ashes of last night's Hakrova, and we're talking about the Mizbech HaPnimi, and there was a Kohen that was Zochen the Pious to Dishon Menorah, and then they entered in to the Heichal, before the Shechit of the Tamid. One of the Kohenim had two keys, Shnei Maftechos, to two Psach, the two gateways, and the Mishnah establishes Shaloyu Poschim es Dalsos Ahechal Mibachutz Me'aulam Elahoyu Nichnosim Derech Pishmish Katon Dainu Dels Ktana Shahoyso Bekoso Betzad Sofon Lashara Godol. And again, there's an entire complicated description here of how this opening of the Psachim took place. They didn't open the Dlasos of the Heichal from the outside, but rather they would go through a very small opening, a Dels Ktana, that was in the coastal on the northern side, into the Shara Gadol. And Lazehayim Mashamesh Mafteach Echad, there was a particular mafteach that served this function to open up this Delas Ketana. And the Mishnah goes on to describe Shalo HaYachur HaMinol MiBachutz LaDelas LeBifnim. There was no keyhole on the outside towards the Ulam, but rather on the inside in the Heichal. And then the Kohen from the inside would open up the door, Yored LeAmas HaShechi. He would then place his hand up until the shechi, until his underarm, into this charshai b'kosel b'tzaradeles, and that's he would open up the door. And after he opened the door, he would go through the chalal hanimtza b'tzido shel heichal, And then he would continue until he came to the other door in the inside of the Heichal itself. And then V'yechad, there was another Mafteach, second key, Poseach Kivon Miyad. And with the second door, there was a minol, a lock that was kavua ba b'tzur regila, that was normal, it had an opening for both sides. U'b'shad losos lo hayatzarach l'troach de l'poscha. In any event, after he would open that deles, then he would go into the heichal, open up all the doors of the heichal from the inside, and all this was taught by a particular chacham who explained that Mishnah in Tamid. Again, we only gave a sort of an overview of the nitty-gritties, but there's a lot more here. And when that chacham died, who explained this halacha to Shmuel, Shmuel cut kriya on his begadim, as a Talmud would cut kriya on Rabbo Shemes. And again, we see from this story that a person who learns from one Rebbe, one halacha, he considers it, that person, his Rebbe. And that's nogea not only to the halacha of Kedima in our Mishnah, in Prika, but also to the halacha of Kriya with an ayin al Misas HaChacham. Omar Ula, Talmidei Chacham, Shebebavol, in Bavol they would sit together in the Beis Medrash, each one would ask a kashi, each one would give a teretz to his friend, and they learned one from the other. Says Ula, Hayu Omdim Zemit Neizeh, even though they were all Talmidim, but they learned one from the other in that joint effort, and therefore they would stand one for the other and give kavod that a Talmud is chayv to a Rebbe, v'korim zeh al zeh, and if one of them died, they would do kriya, and le'inyan aveda bimkom aviv, if there was a choice between the aveda of his father or the aveda of his co-Talmud, meaning of his colleague, then enom chozrim elo l'rabo muvak. Then even though there was so much great respect for their colleagues, nevertheless the colleague would not trump the father in terms of kedima for aveda. Allah maintains that the halacha of kedimas rabo le avedas aviv is left for the case of rabo muvak. If the Aveda was lost by his Rebbe Muvak, and we saw already Rebbe Muvak, according to Rabbi Yehuda, means he learned most of his Chachma from that Rebbe, then the Avedas Rabbo Kodemes, then the Aveda of his Rebbe comes first, and it trumps Avedas Aviv. But when you have colleagues, although they sharpen each other, and they teach each other, they learn the Sugya together, nevertheless, it doesn't have the full-fledged status of Avedas Rabo Muvak, there's a Chi of Kovid, and Omdim Zebazek Korin Zelzeb, but not to trump his father. The Gemara now brings a suffix, a doubt, in the case of Avedas Rav, in the case of a Rebbe who needs his Talmidim, does such a Rebbe come first and trump the Aveda of his father? Kaboimine, Rav Chisda mi Rav Huna. Rav Chisda raised this question in front of Rav Huna, who is his Rebbe. Talmud v'tzarech lo rabo. If a Talmud studies by his Rebbe and he needs his Rebbe, I'm sorry, v'tzarech lo rabo means, and his Rebbe needs him, right? The Rav needs the Talmud, meaning the Rebbe needs the Talmud and depends upon him to listen to his Torah and to receive the transmission of the Torah that he received from his Rebbeim, to pass it on to his Talmud. My, what's the din of such a Rebbe? Does his Aveda come first and take priority over the Aveda of his father since he's Rabbo? Or do we say that the only case of Rabbo that's Kodem L'Aviv is a case of a Rebbe who's totally independent of his Talmidim? In this case, that the Rebbe needs his Talmidim, therefore he's not considered a Avedas Rabo Kodemes. And from the question itself, Rav Huna understood between the lines that Rav Chisda was asking about himself, and he was implying that Rav Huna needs him, the Talmud Rav Chisda. Amalei Rav Huna says to Rav Chisda, get the record straight. Chisda, lo tzrich nolacha. I don't depend upon you. Not for your sharpening me up, not for your pilpul. Atzrich asli, you depend on me. And ad arbayin shnin, you will be dependent upon me until you complete an entire curriculum that takes 40 years. After 40 years, then you'll understand my methodology, my way of thinking, my chachma, my das, and then, and only then, Rav Chisda, will you be able to stand independent of me. And this is all based on a sugya of Avodah Zarah, on Daf Hey, Einonim Omed Al Das, Rabo Ad Arboim Shana. It takes 40 years to understand the depths, to grasp and comprehend the methodology of your Rebbe. The Gemara says that after, in the aftermath of this interchange, Akvidei Adadi, there was a certain kpeda, a certain tension between Rav Chisda and Rav Huna, one against the other. Velo Aili Ligavi Adadi, and they didn't enter one into the other. Rav Chisda didn't come to his Rebbe, Rav Huna, and vice versa. Yosef Rav Chisda Arboyin Ta'anisa, and so Rav Chisda fasted for 40 days, Mishum Decholash Daite, the Rav Huna, because he caused this anguish to Rav Huna by implying that Rav Huna was dependent upon him, the Talmud Rav Chisda, even though, apparently, and that's what we see in the Mefarshim here, Rav Chisda did not really intend in his question to allude to his Rebbe Rav Huna. But nevertheless, at the end of the day, he caused his Rebbe that suffering, that pain, and therefore he took it upon himself to do tshuva. Yosef Rav Huna Arboim Tanisa, Mishum Dechashdei L'Rav Chisda. And when Rav Huna realized that he had caused a certain friction, attention, and anguish to Rav Chisda because he suspected, for no justification, Rav Chisda, of implying that he, Rav Huna, needed, was dependent upon his Talmud Rav Chisda, he was choshed him, he was mezalzel, he was light in the kavod of his Talmud Rav Chisda, he too sat for 40 days of tainios. It's not clear, in my mind, I didn't get a chance to research this in the Mefarshim, what happened after each, the Rebbe and the Talmud, Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, respectively, fasted for 40 days. Did they finally patch up the relationship? I'm assuming the answer is yes. Itmar, the Gemara quotes a machlokas now about the status and the definition of Rabbo, who's Kodim Li'aviv, Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef Amar Rav Yochanan, Halachic Rav Yehuda, we paskin, and we accept the view of Rav Huna Lalocha, Rav Yehuda Lalocha, that Rabbo who gets Kedima is the Rabbi who taught him Rov Chachmaso, Rav Acha, Bar Rav Huna, Rav Sheshes Halachic Rav Yosi, that even if he taught him, he enlightened him on one Mishnah, one Halacha, he's considered his Rebbe. The Gemara asks a question, Umi Omar, Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, Rabbi Yitzchak was quoting Rabbi Yochanan as saying that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda Rov Chachmaso. Is that possible? For Omar Rabbi Yochanan, we have another statement of Rabbi Yochanan that appears in many places that Halacha Kistam Mishnah Utnan, and in our Mishnah it says Rabbo Shalimdo Chachma. A simple understanding of our Mishnah, which is a Stam Mishnah, doesn't quote any Machlokas whatsoever. And we always paskin like a Stam Mishnah, says Rabbi Yochanan. In Rabbo Shalimdo Chachma, this sounds like the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, if you recall, was of the opinion that the Rav who's Kodem Li'aviv is the Rav who taught him Chachma. And that's exactly what it says in that Mishnah. Why did Rabbi Yochanan override his general rule in Psak Halach and paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that it's Rabbo Shalimdo Rov Chachmaso? And the Gemara answers, my chachma, what does the word chachma mean in the Mishnah? When the Mishnah says, Rabbo Shalimdo Chachma, identifying this Rav as one who taught him chachma, it means not the way Rabbi Meir understood it to mean Svaros and Taimim, the underlining methodology of the Talmud, but rather Rov Chachmaso, he taught him most of his Chachma. That's how Rabbi Yochanan understood our Mishnah, Halacha Kistam Mishnah, and therefore Rabbo is Rov Chachmaso, like Rabbi Yehuda. Tanur Rabbana, we learned in a Braisa, Ha'oskim B'mikra Mida V'eno Mida, those who dedicate most of their time to the study of Torah Devim and Ksuvim, to Tanakh, it's a Mida, meaning it's a good way of doing it, but you know what? It's Eino Mida. It's not really the best of the best. The study of Mishnah, the study of Gemara takes precedence, is more significant than the study of Mikra. Then Mishnah, if a person in this Braisa is described as someone who dedicates himself to Mishnah, that's already on a higher level, Midah, V'notlim Oleh Aschar, he'll get more reward than someone who dedicates himself exclusively to the study of Tanakh. However, the highest level is Gemara, a person who dedicates himself to the Svaros, to the Dinim, to understanding the underlying reasoning of each halacha, that's called Gemara. Ein lecha mida gdola mizu. That's the highest level. Uli olam evi rotz l'mishnah yosef min haGemara. Now this brisa seems to contradict itself in the last line. And the bottom line of this brisa is that a person should run after Mishnah and give it precedence to the Gemara, the study of Gemara, even though Gemara is ein lecha mida gdola mizu agufa kasha. Amrit Big Gemara ain't lecha mida gedola mizu v'hadar amrit uliolam avi rots l'mishnah yosef in a Gemara. How can you tell me to run after Mishnah before Gemara when you just finished telling me that the highest level is Gemara? Amar Rav Yochanan, and here we turn to Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, the Yemei Rebbe Mishneis Mishneh Zo. This Braisa was taught during the period of time of Rebbe, and that was the Dar of Rebbe, when, if you remember, Rebbe had to establish the writing of the Mishnah. This is before Rabbi Yochanan's time. And Rabbu Machlokas B'Yisrael, there were tons of debates in Israel. The Masorah was sort of in jeopardy. They couldn't clarify the Dinim. They were under the oppression and the rulership, the dominion of the Malchus of Rome. The Torah was almost forgotten. And at the time of Rebbe, the Melech, the king, gave Rishus to study Torah. The Talmidim started to gather together. Everyone would transmit what he heard from his Rebbe. They began to clarify the Tamei HaMachlokes, the understanding, underlying reasons of the Machlokos. And Rebbe organized the halachos so they could learn it in the Mishnayos with the Tamei HaMishnayos. Rebbe, who was this great leader and organized the Mishnayos, he emphasized the study of Gemara, and therefore Ein lecha mida gdola mizu. And as a result, Shavku kula alma masnisin v'azlu basar haGemara. There was a certain, shall we say, out of balance, out of whack. The Talmidim stopped learning the Mishnayos because Rebbe emphasized the Tamei HaMishnayos, the Tamei HaLacha, the Gemara, and therefore they were all studying the Svaros of the Dinim, that underlying the Dinim, and Rebbe was now afraid that they were going to ignore the study of Mishnah, they're going to forget the Divrei Chachamim, and maybe they'll make mistakes, and mitoch, because they're dedicated to the study of Svara, they'll say something that's potter is really chayev, they'll make that mistake, something that's really awesome, they'll say it's mutter. And therefore, Hadar, Rebbe went back, v'darash lehu, and he darshened, li'olam evi rotz l'mishnah yosim in haGemara. A person should emphasize the study of Mishnah, that has to come first. Obviously, Mishnah, although it's the fundamentals and the basics, and you have to know it clearly and klar, and you have to know all the dinim and the who says what, the opinions as codified by Rebbe's Mishnah, but nevertheless, ultimately, the emphasis and the midah gedola mizu is Gemara. My Durush, what drasha did Rebbe have from which he understood initially that the study of Gemara is the Tamei Halachos, takes precedence, takes priority. The Tamei Halachos, the underlying reasoning of the Halacha, the Gemara says, Rabbi Dashnadit, Kididorish, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eloi, like the famous Drasha, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, Maidechsiv, a pasuk in Yeshayahu Anavi, Hashem tells Yeshayahu Anavi, we'll read the whole pasuk, Kra v'goron al tashchosh, Keshofer harem kolecha, and Rabbi Yehuda Darshan this pasuk Hagid liami pisham, tell my people about their iniquities, their failures, their deficiencies. Elu talmid chacham shesh gogos nasos lahem kizdonos, that a talmid chacham has a higher standard, and he should know the halachas clear. And if he doesn't spend and expend all his energies and rack his brains to understand and clarify the halacha, then what would be considered for another person a shkaga, it's an inadvertent violation, but because of the lack of study here on the part of a Talmud Chacham, it's considered like an avera bezadon, a deliberate avera. And that means hayolahem, the Talmid Chacham, lasei slave, they should have paid more attention, lahavin, to delve into the Tamei Adinim, and not to paskin from a mission on a superficial level without understanding the underlying reasoning, without learning the Iyun. They were reading the mission and understanding it superficially, and therefore they made mistakes. And that's not considered a shogeg, but rather a mazit. However, for the rest of the people of Beis Yaakov, chatosam, a chait is considered a shgaga, that's what the word chait means, pesha is amazed. Elu ami ha'aretz, those are the ignorant people, they're not talmidei chachamim, for them zdonos, nasos lehem kishgagos. Hashem is more lenient and lowers the standards, they don't know the halachas, they can't be held responsible, they violate them, but that's, even though they did it deliberately, they're not totally aware of it, and that's called a shgaga. The Hainu Disnan, and that's what we learned in the Mishnah in the fourth parak of Avos, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Havi Zoyer, B'Talmud, Sheikh Shigigas, Talmud, Ola Zonon. Be very careful and dedicated to an in-depth study of the Mishnayos and their reasonings. That's called Talmud, that's called Gemara, that's the Pirush HaMishnayos, to delve into the Tamim, the underlying reasons, the root, basic fundamentals of the Mishnah that underline the Mishnah. And if you don't do so, then you might call it a shgaga. It's a kind of inadvertent violation. But if you are mati or something that's osir as a result of that superficial learning, is ola zadon, the punishment for that is as if you had done it b'mezid deliberately because you didn't take the time and put in the effort to understand the halacha and the Mishnah on a deeper level, to delve down to the tamim and the svaros. Doresh Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi Maidechsiv Shimu Dvar Hashem, a pasuk again in Yeshaya, a little bit later in Yeshaya, and it says there Hacharedim El Dvaro Amru Achechem Sonechem Minadechem Laman Shmi Yichbar Hashem V'nira B'Simchaschem V'Hem Yavoshu. What does this pasuk mean? Says Rabbi Yehuda, Hacharedim El Dvaro Eilu Talmidei Chachamim Memarim B'Charado Lilmon Men Chachamim Tamei Halachos V'Ashmuos. They are very careful, meticulous, and excited, and they run with a tremendous awe and excitement to study with the Chachamim, to study with other great scholars who will reveal to them and teach them the Tamei Halachos, the Shmuos. And then the pasuk says, Amru Achechem Elu Balei Mikra, those who only study the Mikra, the Tanakh, they don't know the Dinim, they don't spend time dedicating to understanding the halachos. They study from Talmidei Chachamim, but only Mikra. And then Soneichem, which is the next word in the pasuk in Yeshaya, Elu Balei Mishnah, They're not interested in Gemara. The Kaviyachal Sonim of the Talmidei Chachamim want to teach them Gemara. They say, we're interested in other things. Omrim heim al bali ha-mishnah sheim avali ha-olam. Shemorim heim al-lochas mitof mishnasam. They somehow paskin halachos based on their study of the Mishnah, but einam yodim, they don't know the svaros adinim, the tame adinim, they make mistakes, they make analogies, equating one case to the other, and these analogies are off and bent out of shape, is menadechem, and they are equivalent almost to the menadechem elu ame ha'aretz, who really harbor a resentment against the Talmidei Chachamim, and that's menadechem ilashon nida. Talmidei Chachamim are, in a sense, repulsive in their eyes. Shema tomar, pasak sivram, ubatel sikuyam. You might say that those who are not Talmidei Chachamim will never have a simcha, because the pasuk says, v'nira b'simchaschem ve'yavoshu. Is it a gone? Is it a done deal? It's irreversible. Talmud Lomar, v'nira b'simchaschem. The Navi says, v'nira, not v'era b'simchaschem, v'nira b'simchaschem. It means that all of you, the whole gang, will see the simcha. Even the Bali Mikra, those who dedicate themselves to the study of Tanakh, even the Bali Mishnah, even the Ami Haaretz, they too will participate in the simcha. Shema Tomar. Maybe you'll say, after all the pasuk says, Yevoshu, they'll be embarrassed. Right? And even though they'll have some element of simcha, they'll still suffer from humiliation. Yisrael Yevoshu, the pasuk says, Talmud Lomar, Vehem Yevoshu. And that's a reference to the Ovdei Kochavim Yevoshu, the Yisrael Yismachu. Everyone has a part. Everyone has shaychus to the Torah and to the Simchas HaTorah. And before we say the Hadron Alecha, I want to mention in the name of my Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, he used to always say that the reason for the Hakafos on Simchas Torah, which we just finished a few days ago, the Hakafa, the circle around the Torah, represents the hub of a circle. Everyone on the outside of the circle, the circumference is equidistant to that hub. Everyone has a Shaychus to Torah, to the Simchas HaTorah. Even those who are on the outside of Gemara, they're on the outskirts, they have perhaps Tanakh, they have Mishnah, they don't have Gemara. Nevertheless, as the Torah says here, the Tanakh says, V'nireh b'simchaschem, V'nireh, they will all see the Simcha. Some will be in the middle of the circle of the Simcha, some will be a little bit on the outskirts, but they'll all be participants. And the Yevoshu in this pasuk is a reference to the Ovdei Kochavim. And in contrast, Kaviyochol, we should say, Lahavdil, the Yisrael Yismachu, the Jews will be in a state of joy and ecstasy with the Torah. That's the promise of Yeshayahu Anovi. Hadron Alecha Elimitzias, Hadron Alecha Elimitzios, Simir Tzashem, and the next Shia will begin Perek HaMafkid, Bezer Hashem, the third parak of Bav Metzia.